Good morning. And I think actually, Labor Day weekend last year I spoke. There doesn't seem many people come out on Labor Day, so you might think, well, that's why they put me to speak at Labor Day, because there aren't many people here. But then again, I'm the one who arranges the speaking schedule, so what can I say here? But as I did last year, and I will this year, to say Happy New Year. Because I was a teacher for, well, we say 105 years. It seemed that long, but, and even when I was a kid, and I most likely said this a year ago, and you remember every word I said, but we used to live out at the lake, out on Lake St. Clair, when I was in my high school years, and we had all these people lived along this one stretch of lake, maybe 3 miles along this lake, and all these people, and had lots of friends and things to do, and then Labor Day came, and everybody went home, and in that 2 or 3 mile stretch, there were 1, 2, 3, 4 families lived. No, 5. No wonder it was so crowded, there were 5. And you know, when I look back on Labor Day, it wasn't so much that I was thinking I have to go back to work. And as any teachers could tell you if you talk to Todd, he's not going back to work, he's already been at work. But it wasn't that, it was that, oh my goodness, the summer's over already, and I was going to do all these things, and now the time's gone. But I'll do the next year. Anyway, welcome in that. So let's open with prayer here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we could be here today to gather together to look at your word and to hopefully today, Father, to receive comfort from it. We ask your assistance today, Heavenly Father, in delivering this message and hope that it will be a message of hope to those who are with us here today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you're a note taker, and I think I've told you I'm a note taker, if you wanted a message, a title for this message, and I always like to put titles on, I titled this one, Daniel's 70th Week. But first I want to look out, and I should tell you, I'm not a negative person, you know. I like to be a little upbeat. To me, the glass is always half full, or maybe a little bit more than that. And if it's not, I can always top it up. And when you look around at the world that is now, it can sort of get you down. But you know, I don't. I don't get down. I try not to get down. It drives me crazy sometimes, the things that go on. However, I know the end of the game. I know who wins at the end. The Lord Jesus wins at the end. So, whatever's in between, we just take it as it comes. So if you look around now, wars, the Afghanistan war, I think it's been going on now for the United States for about 16 years. ISIS, of course, the war against ISIS and the terrible things they're doing, the terrorism, almost daily attacks in the pre-world. And I think there's a lot, we never even hear about them. And the news is full of violence and hatred. North Korea, sort of a crazy guy in charge there. And you know, sometimes I was thinking this morning, if you take a map of the world, if we put out a map of the world, well, we're here, and North Korea's way over there. So we shouldn't have to worry too much. But, you know, if North Korea, they aren't going to shoot anything this way. It's going to go that way, because the map's flat, but the world is not. The world's round. Like, if you fly to Japan, I've flown to Japan, you don't go east, you go west. The good thing about that, by the way, is when you fly back, you get back an hour before you left. So I figured if I did that often enough, I could get off the plane, I'd be 30. There's North Korea, there's Syria, Israel. You know, and I looked at a map of Israel. Look who's around Israel. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Iraq, Iran, Syria. All those places. And what do they all have in common? They all hate Israel. But Israel is protected by God, and I know that for sure. And when these people say, we're going to destroy Israel, I don't think that's going to happen. And I even have this crazy theme that's just mine. And don't say I give this out as biblical truth or anything, but I really think that the Koreans are going to send a missile to Israel, and it's going to end up back in their laps, and God's going to put it there. And of course, everybody will blame who else? Donald Trump. And in the United States, it's left versus right that goes on and on, and nobody on the left can agree with anything on the right, and nobody on the right can agree with anything on the left. Racial unrest, destroying our history, and even that's now flowing over into Canada. Well, John E. MacDonald wasn't a good guy. He used to drink a lot, and, well, maybe we shouldn't name schools after him or do this. Well, it's our history. And in Canada, well, we're not doing that great either. We've legalized euthanasia. Marijuana comes next week. And we have really high suicide rates in Canada, especially amongst the indigenous people. And in the United States, and in Canada too, a lot of Christians are considered as hate groups. We're hate groups. Did you know that? We're not love people. We're hate groups because we don't agree with abortion. We don't agree with same-sex marriage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we're hate groups. There's one actually officially got put on a list, one of the ministries in the United States. And they finally had enough, and they're going after these people in court. And then there's the one, I always think this is good. Will the earth be able to sustain life, or will we have to move to Mars? And the people who are saying this are really serious. They really think our earth's going to be so bad, we cannot live here anymore. Because it's so crowded. Have they ever been in northern Canada? Do you ever fly, if you come back from Europe and you fly across Quebec and northern Ontario, do you know what you see down there? Nothing. I mean, it's lakes and trees and there's no roads, there's no houses, there's nothing. We have just so many thousands, most likely millions of square miles of empty room here in Canada. Of course, nobody wants to be that cold, but it's there. But they're really serious about that. So what does the Bible say about this? And this is where we should look for our answer. Where does the Bible say for this? Can it get any worse than it is now? Well, unfortunately, yes. Will it get better? If you're a believer, yes, it will. So that's what I want to point out tonight on Daniel's 70th week. Now, I'm going to use three references to look at this. And I'm not going to look at the whole, you can't do that in 40 minutes. I'm going to spend most of the time looking at what will be the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. What does the Bible say will be the beginning of Daniel's 70th week? Then I'm going to look at the midpoint, which is what the Lord called, there'll be a time of great tribulation. And that's just about 3.5 years into the 70th week. The 70th week, by the way, the week is a period of 7 years. And then the end of it, the day of the Lord. Okay? And we'll try to go in that order. So I'm going to start looking at Daniel, the prophet Daniel. And then, so you might think, well, why Daniel? Because Daniel was written about 530 BC. And actually, a lot of people who look at the book of Daniel, say, this could not have been written by Daniel because it was so accurate. Let me just give you a list of some of the things that Daniel predicted. The fall of the Babylonian Empire. As a matter of fact, the very night it fell, the king said to him, what's going to happen? Because this is after Nebuchadnezzar and this other king, and Daniel didn't get along that well. And he said, tell me what's going to happen. And he said, your empire is going to fall, and you're going to die tonight. And guess what happened? The empire fell, and he died that night. He was killed that night by the Persians, who came in underground and got them. So he predicted the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the conquering of Alexander the Great, not by name, but all the land that he took, and then that he died young and split the empire up into three different parts. All of that was predicted by Daniel. And the Roman Empire, even the time of the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And take a look. Now, you're going to be flipping a lot if you're going to follow with me here. A lot of pages is between Daniel and Matthew and Revelation. So I've tried to make it easy on myself. I put a bookmark in each one. Okay, if you look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. And he's talking about various things, and he's talking about his 70 weeks that he prophesied. 70 weeks being 70, a week being 7 years. So his 70 weeks is 490 years. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. So he's saying here, the Messiah is going to be cut off. He's going to, and as we know, he was killed, he was crucified, but not for himself. not for anything he did. He was cut off for our sins. Now, I'm not sure how much of the detail Daniel knew, but he was inspired to write this. And there's, we'll get back to that after. That's another point, but, okay. So, he predicted all of these things. And when the deep sea scrolls were found, which were very, very ancient texts, the most accurate one of all of them was Daniel, for what we have today. So that's why Daniel, because his 70th week. Because often this 70th week is referred to by a lot of people, I have myself, as the tribulation period. But really, nowhere in scriptures is Daniel's 70th week called the tribulation period. At the middle of Daniel's 70th week, the Lord says it's a time of great tribulation, but it's never really called the tribulation period. So I'm trying to change that, although it's a hard habit to break. And it's not that important anyway. But he also describes what will begin the 70th week. Now, and I went through this before. I did a series of talks on Daniel's once before. At the end of Daniel's 60, after the 70th week did not start after Daniel's 69th week. Between the 69th week and the 70th week is the church age. When is that? Right now. So, it's a period of time because we don't know when Daniel's 70th week will start. Now, if we look on Matthew chapter 24, I thought I had a bookmark in Matthew 24. I do now. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is an interesting section of Scripture. Matthew 24, Jesus was talking to the people, but then he left them, and Matthew 24, and I think the next couple chapters, a lot of Jesus is just talking to his disciples. This is not a public discourse. He's just talking to his disciples and telling them what to expect. And in this chapter, he talks about what's going to happen. And he's going to answer this question starting at verse 3. His disciples asked him a question. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, this part is usually called the Olivet Discourse because it was done on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" What is the sign, the singular sign? And today, hopefully, we'll have time to get to and find out what that sign was. Now, before I get into this, I know there is a question of when is the rapture of the saints? Okay, and I'm not getting into that. There's some will say it will be before Daniel's 70th week, some in the middle, some further on, some at the end. When it is it really that important? What we need to know is that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming to bring his own back to him. But we also know in reading in the scripture that there are believers in Daniel's 70th week. There will be believers on the earth. So the big question is when. So now here's one I'm gonna fool you. I'm gonna go to Thessalonians just for a moment. I know it ends. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4. And here, Paul is talking about the rapture of the church. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, who's we? When I say we, I mean myself and someone else or some other people. So Paul thought, when he wrote the book of Thessalonians, that the Lord would come back in his lifetime. John also mentioned that in another scripture, that we will be caught up. So, if Paul didn't know, well, this Paul certainly doesn't know. We don't know when it will be. But I can tell you this. This I can assure you. If Paul thought it was going to happen when he lived, and John thought it happened when he lived, it's a lot sooner now than it was then. But other than that, I don't know. It could be another 2,000 years. I don't know. We can look at things, but I think the thing is that for example, I was watching a movie the other night. When is this going to happen? And it was just a fictional film, and it took place around the First World War. And there was this minister in a Scottish church, and he's encouraging the men in his congregation to enlist for the First World War. And one of the things he said was, Kaiser is the Antichrist. Kaiser, the leader of Germany. So there he was. He's the Antichrist. So he's into Daniel's 70th week. But he wasn't. I mean, did they think maybe Napoleon could have been the Antichrist? Look, he went around and conquered all sorts of areas. Hitler killed thousands of people. He wanted to rule the world, and he attacked the Jewish people. He attacked God's people. But obviously, he was not. The only thing that really surprised with this Antichrist thing is that nobody's called Donald Trump the Antichrist yet. They called him everything else. But maybe that would have say they read their Bible or something, so maybe that won't happen. So, okay. In Daniel and in Matthew and Revelations, I'm sorry, the beginning of the 70th week begins with the arrival onto the world stage of the Antichrist. Okay? Anti meaning against Christ, or in place of Christ. And this person's not going to come on and say, hello, my name is John Antichrist. It's what he's going to do that's going to point him out as the Antichrist. Now, Christ, by the way, Christ is not a name. It's a position. I mean, it would be more accurate to say Jesus the Christ. The Christ is the one, is the Christos, the Messiah that has come. Okay. So the Antichrist, that he's going to say, I'm the one who's going to save the world. I'm the one you should worship. Okay? Now, back to Daniel again. Daniel 8. It should be easy for me to find because I have my bookmarks here, and I'm not. My wife wonders how I can do this. Keep losing my place. Daniel 8, verse... Oh, that's Matthew. There we go. Daniel 8, verse 23. Daniel mentions the Antichrist is... There are 10 kings that show up. Who shall arise from the king? And another shall rise from them. He was what they called the small horn. And he shall be different from the first ones, and he shall subdue the three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, and he shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints will be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. A time and times and half a times. 3.5 years. The second half of Daniel's week. Let's take a look at 9. Go back to chapter 9, verse 26. And in this instance, and I mention this because of something, he talks about after the Messiah is cut off, And then it says, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The people of the prince who is to come. The prince who is to come is the Antichrist. So the people of the prince who is to come are going to destroy Jerusalem and the sanctuary. Now, that led people to think that the Antichrist is going to come from Rome, because the people of the prince who was to come, the people who destroyed the city of Jerusalem and tore the temple apart, were Roman soldiers. Why? And actually, I heard an explanation of why. If you look at those temples, the blocks, they were huge. Why would they tear them apart and make sure everyone was taken down? Well, I guess they thought the temple was set on fire. But there was a lot of gold in the temple, and the gold melted, and the gold fell down in between the blocks. So that's why they were taking these blocks apart to get the gold. Just a theory. So this led a lot of people to, once in a while you would hear that the Pope will be the Antichrist because he's in Rome, Vatican being in Rome. I don't know if that's true. Also, historically, I guess, the soldiers were Roman soldiers, but they weren't from Rome, because the Roman Empire was huge at that time. And the soldiers who ransacked the temple were from Syria. Maybe the Antichrist will come from Syria. Or perhaps now that we have the European Union, and so the Roman Empire is, you know, you could sort of equate that with the European Union, maybe he'll come from somewhere in the European Union. Once again, it's all put here so that so many different answers. We can't be sure of what's going to happen. But I think that's done purposely. Okay. So that's Daniel. If you go now to Revelation 6, and in Revelation 5, as you remember, is very popular section of Scripture. In Revelation 5, there's a scroll with seven seals. And then they're saying, and they look everywhere to see who can break that seal. They don't look just in heaven. They look on earth and under the sea and everywhere. Who has the power to break those seals? And John weeps because there is no one found. No man was found who could do that. But then the Lord Jesus steps forth, the Lamb of God, and he breaks the seals. The first seal, and these four seals are the four what are commonly known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. But the first seal on the white horse, verse 1 on chapter 6. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. So that is pretty well agreed upon. This is the Antichrist. Interesting that he has a bow but no arrows. But he goes out to conquer. And I think because in his first few years, he's going to be conquering, I think, with political means as opposed to military means, and getting people to agree together. Now, that's number one. That is the thing. We also know the Antichrist will desecrate the temple. And this was done once before, centuries before, by Antiochus Epiphanes, but this is a different desecration that he is going to do. Oh, and I just missed a whole page. With timing of the... let me just digress here for a minute. With Israel. Israel is the center of everything that goes on in Daniel's 70th week. And actually, I guess you can buy maps, although I've never seen one, but I hear they are available. The map of the world, and at the center of that map is Jerusalem, because that's where everything's going to happen during Daniel's 70th week. And so, Israel being established in 1948 and surrounded by enemies, why do they want to destroy Israel, those people? Because they know they know, either intrinsically or they're knowledgeable enough to know that this is where the Lord is coming back. So they want to just get rid of it. So, but that came up with, well, when would Jesus return? In 1988, 40 years after the foundation of Israel, that's one generation. So I know a couple of people told me this could be the year, and I was a fairly new Christian, 1987. I was thinking of packing my bags, but you know, you don't take anything with you, so I don't know. And then now the other thing is 2018, which is 70 years after Israel was founded, because 70 is supposed to be a special number in the Bible, and maybe that's when it will be. And then there's a few that have passed. The Mayan calendar ended. Remember that? The world was going to end, but here we are. Quite a few times the world's supposed to end, and here we are. It's getting monotonous listening to all those. There was even a cult, I remember somewhere, it must have been in California, they all do the crazy things. They all committed suicide so their bodies could be taken away by aliens, and then they later found their bodies. So, and look at nuclear weapons around, the world going to end, et cetera, et cetera. No, it says the truth is in the scripture, and we'll find that from there. Now I have to go back again, I think. No, sorry. Okay, now, let's look at this, the beginning of the... Let's go back to Matthew 24. If I can do it right this time. Starting at verse 4. And Jesus answered this question, what will be the sign of your coming and at the end of the age? Translations, that says the end of the world. I think the end of the age might be better. That would be the end of the church age. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear, that's the Antichrist. Number two, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Three, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So now, if you go back to Revelation 6, I told you we're going to hop back and forth here. The first seal, the white horse, that's the Antichrist. The next one, starting at verse 3, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come. Another horse, fiery red, went out and was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Wars, rumors of wars. The third one, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So looked and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine. So there's going to be a shortage of food. Famines. The fourth seal. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Some say that this horse is sort of like a sickly green, because that is the color of a corpse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them, this is Death and Hades, over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. And this is the death that will come out throughout the whole world, or throughout the world. Now, there's two ways that I have seen this said, a fourth of the earth. Some think that the rider, the pale horseman, is going to kill a quarter of the people in the world. And some people think that a fourth of the earth is a geographic fourth, that he's just going to roam in one quarter of the world, which is true. I don't know. It's going to be nasty, whatever it is. And those are those four. And Jesus says, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. But that is the beginning of Daniel's 70th week, and laid out in all those scriptures. Now, wow. Anyway, okay, I'm short of time here. There are verses in here, 3.5 years into the 70th week. Just let me read some here in Matthew once again. Verse 9. In verse 80, it said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This is the beginning of the great tribulation. This is in the middle, and this is when the Antichrist, he stops being a nice guy that he was for the first 3.5 years, and he really turns nasty at 3.5 at the end of the at the middle of the that week. And then, since I'm running short on time here, I didn't think this would take as long as I did. Let me go back to Revelation again. The end of Daniel's 70th week, which is the end of the age, the end of the age, the end of the church age, or the beginning of it is the end of the church age. But the end of Daniel's 70th week is not the end of the world. It will be the end of the world as we know it now, but it will be a much better place. Because when you get into the time of the trumpet judgments and the bowl judgments, it's as if God himself is taking control of the earth, and he's saying, this is enough. And God makes war on the earth. And it's going to be a terrible time. And we've seen the day of the earth is written about, or pardon me, the day of the Lord, I'm sorry. The day of the Lord is written about in the Bible, 8 Old Testament books. Right, the writers talk about the day of the Lord, as well as Luke and Paul and Peter, all 11 different writers writing about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is going to be a terrible time. And I just have to find something here because I'm out of time. Well, okay. At the day of the Lord, all of a sudden, the earth stops, or the sun stops. There is no light on the earth. It just stops. And, well, if we look in Matthew 24, and there Jesus will say, and the earth, well, let me read it, just I don't want to. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, this is after the great tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Notice he doesn't say the moon will be darkened. And I don't know what how astronomy was going then, not astrology, but astronomy, if they knew that the sun was just a reflection of the earth's light or not. I don't think so, because they still thought the earth was flat and they didn't think it moved. But how accurate that is, the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So it's going to be black on the earth. Just black. Total darkness. Like, have you ever been in a cave and they turn the lights out deep in a cave? You can't see your hand in front of your face. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. That's going to be the end of the 70th week. And God's going to come. And there are a lot of people saying, well, when we have the technology now so that when Christ returns, we'll be able to see him on television. You don't need a television. The earth is going to be black. And when he comes and his glory shines out over the whole world, you're not going to need a TV set. You're going to know it's there. And God is going to come down to the earth. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So any believers that are there and have survived this, they go with the Lord. Now, is that the main rapture? I don't know. But that event, when he comes, and they said, what is the sign of your coming? And he said, that's going to be it. When God appears, when he appears in the skies, he'll light up the world again, and everybody will know that he's coming. And who's mourning? Those people who said, oh, I don't need that stuff. You don't really believe that stuff? They'll be the ones that are mourning. It will not be the Christians that are mourning, because they will know that now the time has come. God has taken control, and he's taking control of the world. That's the end of that age. And that's the hope that we have. It's not going to be the end of the world. There's going to be terrible times. And I heard this one person saying, if you're a believer in the tribulation, things get bad, but then they get really good. If you're a non-believer in the tribulation, things are really good, then they get really bad. And that's what's going to happen with us, if we're here. And who knows when it will be? No man knows. And anybody tells you, say, I'm sure the rapture is going to occur here, they're sure, don't believe them. Because no man knows. Jesus doesn't know. He says himself, no man knows but my Father. Well, if the Lord Jesus didn't know, who would? Certainly not any of us or any person on this earth. But that's what's going to happen. So it's not terrible news. It's wonderful news. Because after that, if you continue on in the scriptures, Jesus will reign on the earth for 1,000 years with his followers, with his believers. 1,000 years will reign with him on the earth. So that's what you have to look forward to. The other stuff in between, with that in the as the end goal, the other stuff in between doesn't matter. Jesus is coming. That's what we need. And that's what will happen. If you look through the Bible, there are, I don't know, how many total prophecies in there? Hundreds, maybe thousands. They've all come true. Why would this one be any different? Okay, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words you have given for us. Thank you that we have this hope, that we know that the Lord Jesus will return. We know that evil will be done away with, that sin will be wiped off the earth, and we will reign with him for 1,000 years. We thank you for this word you have given us. Thank you for your Bible. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen.